Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our first reading, the Lord works righteousness for us. Then he works repentance in us. And now he gives the example of how God wants that repentance from our hearts so that in the humility of repentance we can find a beautiful exaltation in the Lord. Jesus told this parable to certain people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. Two men went up to the temple courts to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. However, the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but was beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, sinner. I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Almost 500 years ago, the world was turned upside down, not by a weapon of mass destruction, but by an instrument of mass instruction, man's pen. A monk, well, technically, I guess he was a friar, by the name of Martin Luther, penned 95 theses or propositions, and he attached them to the university bulletin board of his day, which was the front door of the castle church in Wittenberg. And his purpose was to debate these theses or propositions with his fellow theologians there at the university. And at the heart of these theses was the question, what does it mean to repent? Here's what Luther wrote. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. That's from thesis number one. And almost 500 years later, here we are on a Ash Wednesday evening, not to debate these theses, but to confess our sins in true repentance, not to nail our words to a door, but to hear God's word preached from a pulpit. And as another Lenten season begins, truly the beauty of repentance is something that is on our minds and on Jesus' mind too, as he shares with us a beautiful picture of repentance through the actions of two men going up to the temple to pray, understanding what it means to have repentance as part of our lives of faith, our beautiful lives of repentance. And so tonight, as the Spirit speaks to you through his word, may the Spirit bless every one of us with a repentant heart tonight, a heart that turns not to ourselves, but to him. And as we consider that tonight, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So I invite you to listen once again to the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, but let me set it up for you a little bit. Imagine that you are in the busy streets of Jerusalem and you step into the temple courts. Understand that it wasn't like stopping by church on a Tuesday afternoon, where maybe Jill is here and you might catch one of the pastors, and otherwise things are pretty quiet. The temple courts were busy all the time. There were animals and there were people and there were merchants and there were traders and there were pilgrims from all over the world. And of course, there was a lot of activity up there by the altar, on which at this particular time would have been a lamb that had been sacrificed and burning in the fire, which you would have been able to smell in the air, along with all the incense that was burned as well. So you'd have this acrid smell and a sweet smell, and it all kind of blends together. And you make your way through the crowd, and it's pretty much just elbow room only as you're kind of jostled around and make your way through. And as you're stepping through the temple courts, your gaze happens to rest on one individual. And you've seen him there many times before. This man is a professional religious. He's a Pharisee, and he is decked out in the religious robes, and he steps out into a place of prominence, and he puts out his hands. And as he's going through all of this, you kind of notice over his shoulder, off in a corner, another man that you know, except he is more infamous than famous. He's a well-known tax collector. A tax cheat would probably be a little bit more accurate. And there he is, just like he should be, all alone off in the corner, right? Because that's what he deserves. Well, now Jesus begins this story, and listen to what he says. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went home justified rather than the other before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know, if you look at it, the Pharisee had plenty to pray about, huh? But did you notice what his favorite word was? It wasn't Lord. It wasn't help. It wasn't forgive. His favorite word? I. That ugly, all-consuming word, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. I mean, it's like the Pharisee is having his own little Thanksgiving day for himself in the temple courts. And he is most thorough when it comes to thanking God for himself, but he's absolutely amnesic when it comes to thanking God for all of God's blessings in his life. And you notice he doesn't ask for a single thing from the Heavenly Father. Not a single thing. Because you see, he figures, I have everything I could ever want. Therefore, God has everything from me that he could ever want. Wow. What an attitude, huh? I mean, he wasn't a robber. He was a big giver. He wasn't a glutton. Oh no, he was a disciplined faster. He wasn't a man of all those sinful masses out there. Oh, no. He was a spiritual cut above everyone else. That's why he stood out there the way he did, out in public with his arms spread and his head held high. He was doing just fine by his own estimation. And so why would he turn to anything but himself for his own holiness and his own salvation? But now look at the tax collector, huh? Talk about a contrast. Not a man full of himself. A man who's clearly running on empty. Not a man praying to be praised, but a man desperately praying for forgiveness. Not a man bragging, but a man repenting. He wasn't turning to himself. He knew there was nothing there. He was turning toward God. I mean, in a time when most praying took place with heads held up to heaven, here was the tax collector with his head down in shame. When most people prayed with their hands held out wide, the Pharisee's hands, or the tax collector's hands, were balled into fists and pounding against his chest, not in arrogance, but in beautiful repentance. In grief and sorrow, that short, simple prayer, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Literally, he was praying, God, please be appeased. Because you see, he knew there was absolutely nothing that he could do to make himself right with God. No praying, no paying, no fasting, no washing could ever make his sin right with God. He knew that there was no way that he could appease God. He had to rely on something else, someone else. He had to turn to God. God himself had to appease his own wrath towards sin. In fact, that's what Isaiah wrote about in our first reading tonight. He, the Lord, saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Basically, tonight we come to commemorate, to celebrate, to rejoice in the fact that the Lord appeased his own wrath against sin. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of this Lenten journey towards Holy Week and the cross and the empty tomb. But this isn't just a once-a-year answer to the tax collector's prayer. This is an eternal answer to our greatest need. Pharisee, he fancied himself righteous. He wasn't. In fact, Jesus said, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. The Pharisee considered himself faithful, free of all adultery. But he was guilty. Guilty of cheating because he was carrying on a lifelong love affair with himself. When we look at ourselves and we see only the best, that's when we are at our most dishonest, huh? And we need to take a look at ourselves through the eyes of Christ's perfection and realize who we are. That's what the tax collector did. He looked through the sinless, promised Messiah and saw that he fell short of God's holy law, that he deserved nothing but eternal punishment, and he was honest with himself, begging for God's mercy. And when God looked at him, he looked at him through the completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because in God's mind, it was already done. He looked through Jesus' perfection, and he saw that tax collector as perfect, saw him at his best. Not because of what the tax collector had done, but because of what Jesus has done. And so you could rightly say that the tax collector was humble, and therefore the Lord exalted him. The tax collector knew his sin, and so the Lord forgave him. In turning to Jesus rather than himself, the tax collector was lifted up. Talk about a reversal. It was only possible through the reversal of Jesus Christ. The Lord of heaven became the criminal of the cross. The God who fills the universe filled a tomb. The Lord of glory became the suffering servant so that the Father's wrath against sin could be completely appeased. Appeased not by just ignoring sin, but by paying for it through the suffering and death of his own Son, Jesus Christ. Sinless Jesus became the chief of sinners upon the cross so that you and I, chiefs of sinners, could become the sinless sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Paul describes it. He said, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus taught that a Christian's entire life is a life of repentance, a lifelong turning away from self. and through the work of the Spirit, turning towards Christ and his work. Because you see, it's not about the goodness of your work, the earnestness of your prayers, the zeal that you have for the Lord's work, your commitment and love, be it for your family or your church or your country. None of that matters. It is only in the humble cross of Christ that we find who he created us to be. Now, like the tax collector, that cross may not look like much, but it changes everything, doesn't it? It lifts us up, forgives us, it completes us, it makes us perfect and pure and holy, and guarantees for us that place in the realms of heaven that only Jesus Christ could do. Almighty Father appeased. And there we find in him the goodness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness for your sin, and the answers to your prayers, be it throughout this Lenten journey or throughout this whole journey called life. Don't look to yourself. Rather, look to your Savior. Only him. Always him. Amen.